ABC Blinds Countdown to Christmas sale is on now. Save 30% off roller blinds, vertical blinds and sheer curtains. You know what else is on now? This Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast.
Ghost Week.
Ghost Week.
So we've had a couple of really crazy, spooky Ghost Week chats the last couple of days. We've had Rebecca Millman,
yep.
Who's a psychic medium, does seances, all that sort of stuff. We've had Anthony Grzelka, who is Australia's number one ghost whisperer.
Who's taking us out tonight.
Yes.
To see some ghosts.
To the Rose and Crown cellar, apparently. The cellar that not even the staff will go in because it's so haunted.
And you'll see video and socials.
Did I not tell you that?
No, I didn't know that.
The staff won't go in there and we're going in there with listeners.
Oh.
It's all right, mate. There's nothing down there but spirits. You'll be fine.
Well played.
Thank you. every morning we're having these chats from 8. If you've missed any, you can get them on the Listener app where our podcast is, LISTNR. This morning we're catching up with Vinny. Now, Vinny is a local psychic medium whose early sort of experiences with ghosts were actually quite close. She got quite intimate with them, or rather they did with her. However, when she came in to record the chat with her, we had the tapes rolling. And this is what we picked up with her before we actually said, all right, let's do the interview.
Sure.
She just got stuck in.
So, just a question.
Sure.
If I pick up stuff, do you want it?
Yes.
Yeah, we do anyway.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
The dog's going to be fine, by the way.
Thanks.
So, yeah. But just keep an eye
heavy.
On the leg.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I'm picking up.
But okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
All
another
right.
Another baby for you.
Sorry?
Number 4. How many children have you got?
I've got 3.
Yeah.
There's going to be a 4th.
There's going to be a 4th.
There's a 4th one for you, darling.
All right, there you go. You've been thinking about that, so.
Are you serious?
Can I tell you what I pick up?
That's the vibe she's getting.
Yeah. That's what I'm getting,
that's
sweet.
That's the vibe.
I'm so sorry.
You better cancel that vasectomy.
No, because we're thinking about it. Pink or blue?
Does twins run in your family by any chance?
Yeah. Mum.
Just be careful.
Jeez,
so
that's
5.
A risk. That's a risk bloody that you go
hell.
For one more and you end up with a 5th.
So just be careful. You know, it's well, and I'm seeing both, if that kind of makes sense, but then I'm seeing twins.
I mean, you say be careful, but you can't really be. You either have one or you don't, right?
Yeah. What I'm saying is that I'm seeing a pink and a blue.
Yeah, sure.
What I'm saying is, but they're saying is like, that's not definite.
Okay.
Meaning, so it depends on how you interpret things.
Of course.
Mm. Meaning, it could be
right.
One of each.
Wow.
Sure, yes, yes.
It depends on what you interpret it.
That'd be the best. That would be amazing.
I still don't see where, because, you know, say when Pete and his beautiful wife get intimate in the hope of creating another life, do they look at each other and go, we should be careful, though, because we don't want to have twins?
I mean,
you can't really do much about it, can you?
I'm just
I know, my love. Yeah, I'm just having fun.
You know?
Yes, of course.
My goodness.
Like when I've had things come through and people go,
wow.
No, we love hearing that stuff. We're into it.
No, yeah, no, we're into it. So into it. It's just knocked me for 6 a little bit just because I feel like every second day we're kind of looking at each other going,
should we?
Are we done yet?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The question mark is very much
there.
And
poor Ollie's like, could you give me some attention? I'm 3 months old.
Well, that's the thing. Ollie's 4 months and, he's in Liz's arms and he cracks a little smile. This just happened yesterday afternoon and she looked at me and she goes, I don't know that we're done yet.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. Well, who knows?
For you, a
as
shift.
A shift,
as in a house or something. There's a shift happening.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, but
no,
sorry,
good,
Peter.
Good,
I'm
good.
So sorry.
No, don't apologise. So there you go. That was
before
I'm
we
so
said
sorry.
We're rolling.
Got right.
I love that. I'm so sorry. You might end up with twins.
You know, I said to you guys off the air that my mum, I said, yesterday I mentioned you guys off the air, my mum would be frothing these chats every morning from 8. And last night we went out to dinner at mum and dad's house and she grabbed me. She was like, I am loving this. And then she just sent me a text after hearing that going, yippee, with a blue heart and a pink heart.
Well, I'll tell you what.
She's got another grandbaby.
My late mother, Judy, would also have been frothing over this. And I may get to see her tonight at the Rose and Crown cellar.
And blue and pink is so 90s, okay? Now it's green and yellow.
You're right, exactly.
Ready to connect with the other side?
I want people to know nobody passes alone.
Try to explain the unexplained.
You're lying on your back and you've got this entity on top of you.
Or just get a little bit spooky before Halloween. Get your ghoul on. It's Pete, Matt and Kimber's Ghost Week.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Vincenza Sirna is a psychic medium. Of course, we are talking to a plethora of them to discover different things about the other side throughout Ghost Week. Vinny has been kind enough to join us in the studio now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, everyone. I hope we're all well today.
We are great. Now, Vinny, we've got some really interesting people to speak to during the week, but your story really stood out to us because you've had an experience that I think a lot of people would have difficulty getting their head around. Okay. You've been intimate with a spirit. Is that how you would say it?
Yeah. I guess that's one way of putting it. It's happened a few times, but the one that really stands out happened about a year ago, roughly. I was working and I was doing a night shift, so sleep shift. So I was getting ready for bed. I had organized the portable bed, jumped in, and I tossed and turned thinking, oh, my God, how am I going to get to sleep? Because it's a strange place, strange feelings, and because you pick up
Where
stuff.
Where were you?
I can't disclose the but I was actually working. To cut a long story short, I had prepared myself, jumped into bed. I remember lying there thinking, oh, my God, you know, how am I going to get to sleep? And it was just like there was just, if you think about it this way, it was like a surge of energy had just come over me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like someone had hugged me.
Right.
It's really hard to explain, but it's like someone had hugged me. And it's almost like, things are going to be okay. You're going to sleep well. And I thought, well, okay, that's fine. So, yeah. But then I tossed and turned a little bit more. And then all of a sudden, when I was on my side, I felt something jump in bed.
Wow.
And I went, oh, okay, so I'm not alone. Sure enough, I wasn't alone. The only way I can explain it is like, a partner spooning you.
Okay.
Okay. So it was like a complete spoon. I was being hugged and exceptionally close. You know, but you could feel the energy. That's the only way I can describe it.
But you felt comfortable. But you weren't frightened. You weren't.
Not at all. It was just the most amazing feeling.
Was it erotic?
No, not at all.
Okay.
It was comfort. It's going to be okay. Nothing to fear.
Did the energy feel familiar? I know you mentioned that it feels comfortable, but did it feel like you knew?
Not this one.
No? Not this one?
Not this one, no. This one was completely different.
Mm.
It felt like a motherly figure to me.
Right.
And that's the only way I can describe it. It was just amazing. It was like, okay, you're going to be fine. And then, like I said, I felt that comfort, and within a couple of minutes, I was out. I was gone.
And so have you ever had an, that's incredible. Mm. Have you ever had an experience that did border on the erotic side of things?
Yes.
Okay.
Erotic, but not the nicest feeling, I have to say.
Okay.
Especially when you're lying on your back and you've got this entity that's on top of you. And you cannot move.
I have heard of this sort of
breathe.
Not being able to move thing before.
Yeah,
yes.
That is quite scary.
Yeah,
so
right.
That has happened. So that was the worst side of things,
okay.
If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I've had the good and I've had the bad and and that I really wouldn't want to go through again.
I see.
Because it's not the nicest feeling when you can't move, breathe, you can't talk, you can't do anything.
Yes. Right.
How long did it last for?
At least a few minutes.
Right. Mm. And did it take place somewhere familiar or were you elsewhere then as well?
It's happened on several occasions. It's happened at home, of course.
Yeah.
But when I'd be like in a hotel or overseas or
somewhere where there's
somewhere
a new energy.
Yeah.
You know, everyone that we speak to about this says, I've got this gift, and how long they've had a gift.
Yes.
Has it been detrimental to your life? Is it something that you've gone, while it may be a gift and while it's certainly not something that everybody possesses the ability to tap into, can it also be that a bit restrictive and a bit difficult if you're given messages that you don't want to share or are around people that you don't feel comfortable around and you can't justify because maybe something's telling you shouldn't be there or whatever?
The experience I would give you is when I actually got thrown, I was pushed by a spirit. He didn't want me there.
Oh,
if that answers your question?
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be, because it can be quite scary at times.
I bet.
Yeah.
I went to a friend's house. This has gone back years ago, because she felt that there was an energy around her son in her son's bedroom that, you know, was
malevolent.
He was really acting up. And I said, look, okay, you know, no problem. I'll come and have a look and see what's going on, see if I can pick up what it was.
Mm.
When I got there, she guided me to where I had to go, and I recall I stopped before I even got to his room. And she goes, what's wrong? And I said, it's not good. Whatever it is in there, it's not good.
Mm.
She goes, can you just go in? I went, okay, yeah, no problem. So I took two more steps. As I approached just the entrance, I remember something had just pushed me and I fell back.
Oh.
And it was the energy. It was the energy. It was
and your
so
friend
strong.
Witnessed that.
Yeah. She ran.
Oh, God.
She ran. She
and yet they were still able to sell the house for twice what they paid for it. Wow. That's full on stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gee whiz. Vinny, just quickly, that energy, do you feel it as a, like when you say it pushed you, yes. Do you feel a hand or a palm? Is that what you felt?
It feels like a person. Just yeah? Literally
just, coming just
up
a palm just going bang.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And at that time, even though I felt, and it was a him, I felt him and I felt it very, very strongly. When it happened, I did not see him.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was leaving my friend's house, she was at the entrance of the door.
Yeah.
I was talking to her and I remember saying,
oh, no.
This house has to be cleansed.
Chill then.
I said, it's.
Me too.
I said, it's really, really bad energy. Mm. I said, you've got to get rid of them.
Wow.
And as I said that.
Now I'm seeing things in the mirrors reflecting.
But it's interesting because as I said that, I'm looking at her into the house. She's at the doorway.
Yeah.
Right behind her.
Nah.
He walks by.
Oh, yeah.
And
there it
gives
is.
Me that look like I got you.
Oh,
and I telepathy, I said, no, you didn't, mate. You scared me a little bit, but I'm on you right now.
Oh, man.
Jeez, yeah, just... no, I yeah. got that too. Yeah, far out. All right.
So, yeah.
Wow. Good stuff, Vinny. Thank you
for coming in here and sharing your stories with us. We really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Very welcome.
Yesterday was the big day you got.
Very proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. And I really appreciate love and support from you guys for this because it's harrowing when somebody actually says you need to get up in front of a group of people and the expectation is be funny.
And let's paint the picture at these corporates, even for those of us that have done a lot of stand-up comedy, the hardest part of it is that often people are there seeing people they haven't seen for a long time, that you're often doing your comedy during the dinner break.
Mm-hmm.
You've really got to get used to the fact that mostly they're not laughing or indeed listening to you.
And also they're there with management.
Yeah.
Like
yes.
If you're at a work gig.
Yeah, quite right.
And you say a joke that is like really inappropriate or whatever, and I think it's hilarious, and my boss gives me the evil eye across the table. You know, everyone's on their best behaviour, and sometimes that means you don't get the response that you would like.
All of those.
And on top of that, it was a McDonald's corporate conference, all the managers from around the state. So there's about 150 people crammed into this small room at the WA Maritime Museum.
Okay.
And I'm down the bottom because it's an auditorium. And there was a lot of sleepy heads in there because they'd had a big night the night before as well.
Yes.
And they were setting themselves up for another big night.
Is it too late for me to get a job at Macca's?
Oh, my God.
They had a McHappy feel.
But, look, I took a deep breath and I dived in. I'll save the sort of intro to play you last.
Okay.
But this is a couple of the bits from throughout the show. And I'd sort of set them up in between bits and pieces and presentations and grabbed some topical gear, you know, a little bit of the war between them and Hungry Jack's.
Uh-huh.
Take a listen. And, oh, Hungry Jack's is going to be pissed. Fucking, what did they do? The Big Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys, if you wanted to get them back, you should have released the Hungry Mac. That's what you should have done. So there you go, just a little bit
Look
of
a good
chew.
One.
Just a little bit of creative gear between those two. I'll give you guys... another one. This is, you know, I just sort of reached into the back of my mind somewhere to remember that, you know, if there's a Macca's store opening near you, then generally it drives up property prices. And I found out some cool information during the presentation yesterday. Went with this on the fly.
I'm a customer. Where's the Harrisdale manager? Where's Harrisdale management? Hi.
I'm a customer, as you mentioned, I visit your store. Friday night is treat night in our household. And our kids love getting their Happy Meals, so we visit your store. But it's very exciting to know that there's a Southern River store opening. No offence. Because we live in Southern River, and I'm really excited for our house property price to be driven up. So thank you.
There you go.
Oh, my Lord. The host with the most, they're ladies and gentlemen.
But this was at the very beginning of the show when they first called me out.
Yes.
And I ran with a bit of a... I actually passed this one past you, Kimber.
Yes.
Yesterday off the air.
I liked it.
So there's a little bit of a warm-up. Right. Yeah. So there was the pitch with a tiny little joke. Didn't get the best response, but that was okay.
Oh, that's okay.
Then I brought him back and knocked out a home run.
The theme of the summit this year is move as one. If it's been a bloody tough couple of years for you, pretty much the person sitting next to you, it's been a tough few years, a couple of years for them as well. It's also been a tough few years for Hamburglar, who was put away. Ronald McDonald, he can't put the mask on anymore because of what happened a few years ago with that clown pandemic that we had. And Bernie has an OnlyFans account. So it's been a real rough few years.
So there's the warm-up.
I want you to know, I'm not the comedian in the Pete, Matt and Kimber show on Mix. And it was interesting when I got booked for this event and they said, you know, at the very beginning, can you do a bit? And I was like, well, I'm not a comedian. I'm the guy who pushes the buttons. I do the time calls. I can tell you the time. I can tell you the names of things. I can do a really shit house update of what the weather is going to be and generally get it wrong. But I'm not the comedian. They said, I don't care. We are paying you. And because we're paying you, if we want you to cluck like a chicken, you will cluck like a chicken. If we want you to hop on one leg, you will hop on one leg. If we want you to bar like a sheep, you will bar like a sheep. And I said, no, I'm not a comedian. And they said, we'll throw in a 10-pack of McNuggets. And I said, ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Good one.
Booking for next year.
There you go, guys. There you go.
It was a good one.
Imagine if you got an email from them today going, look, Pete, we had a great night. We won't use you again next year, but we'll go back to Pete Rosethorne.
He's the 30th Premier of our great state and Rockingham's favourite son. Please welcome Mark McGowan.
Good morning to you, Premier.
Good morning. Great to talk to you.
You too. Well, I got to go straight on to this because, look, as a bloke who's got young kids, and I'm sure this sort of comes with the territory, but it's disgusting to see. How are you and your family going, mate? Particularly referring to the fact that you've had threats made against you guys. It's shocking.
Oh, yeah, we're okay. Look, some people have been pretty full on in the sorts of stuff they've done and said, but it's fine. My family's good and I'm good and we're well supported.
Great.
That's good to hear. We thought also, too, we were worried that it might be just a way of you being able to move to Mount Lawley, that house you were looking at, and nobody noticed. It was your way of getting out of Rockingham without having to tell anyone.
No. Rockingham's a wonderful place. You know, I've lived in Rockingham most of my life, so by far the majority of my life I've lived in Rockingham. So, you know, I'm very happy in Rockingham, but I'll just... You know, people sort of have worked out where I live because it was all published and my phone number was all published by these anti-vax people. So, yeah, it's been pretty full on, but no, we're good.
Premier, is that unusual, though? Because as the Premier and as somebody who is, you know, such a bloke that is just around the state, particularly the last couple of years with what we've been going through, is it an unusual thing for people to know your number and, in particular, I guess, your home address?
Yeah, it is. It's very unusual. So it was published by some of the anti-vax activists. And then I was bombarded by phone calls. And I can't quite use the language they were using. But obviously, all of that went on for a while. Yeah, no, that's very unusual. I haven't heard of that happening before.
Now, Premier, we long for the days where you used to come in and sing stupid songs with us, but COVID has, of course...
Everyone longs for that.
Yeah, taken our lives over for the last 2 years.
They were the good old days.
Weren't they? Yeah, remember them well.
Oh, they were. I talk about it. I talk about it regularly. I'll talk about it with my grandchildren. Those great songs.
Oh, the times I was there with Matt Dictinsky and the Mix Crew. So where are we at? How are we looking for opening up our borders? There's talk about Christmas. I know everyone's so keen to get back to some sense of normality.
Just a couple of things. Firstly, our borders are open with Queensland, Northern Territory, South Australia and Tasmania as we speak. So you can go to any of those places and return as you like. Mm-hmm. That's fine. And there's no quarantine or anything like that. It's just New South Wales and Victoria. So what we've said is when we get to very high levels of vaccination, we'll set a date to open the borders with New South Wales and Victoria. But what other states are doing is opening up before Christmas and then putting in place various restrictions and the potential for lockdowns over Christmas. So I'm pretty keen not to do that. So, I mean, you know, we've got a bit of a different approach. It'll all be over sometime in the first half of next year, we expect. People will be able to go back to New South Wales and Victoria then. I realise it's a bit difficult. It's difficult for me. You know, my family lives in New South Wales, but I do. I'd rather just have a normal Christmas because we actually have a normal society here. And avoid some of the trouble they're having over it, in particular, the potential for lockdowns.
Premier, the louder argument that we're hearing, I guess, is from people who are vaccinated, who are double vaxxed, saying, well, why don't we just open up? We've done the right thing. Those who aren't going to get vaccinated likely won't from this point on, and those who are have already got it. So why don't we just open up and live with it? Do you think that that is of concern to our hospital system?
Well, so I think it's of concern to everyone. So our vaccination rate goes up every day. So we do about 15,000 or so people, or 15 to 20,000 people every day. But we're still at about 60% of over 12s. So it's double vaxxed. So that's we've got to get that up to, you know, somewhere between 80 and 90, hopefully closer to 90 before we actually open up. And you said everyone who's vaccinated, who was going to get vaccinated, is vaccinated. That's actually not actually correct, because more and more people get done every day, particularly those in the regions, those in lower socioeconomic areas, particularly the 12 to 18-year-olds. So we've just got to get these people vaccinated before such time as we do the opening up.
And Premier, we're seeing, you know, in the Northern Hemisphere, you know, highly vaccinated communities who, you know, opened up and wanted to get back to normal, and huge numbers of case numbers and indeed hospitalisations, even amongst highly vaccinated communities. Are our hospitals prepared for that? Are we prepared for that?
We are very prepared, and it will be very difficult. Once we get COVID, which at some point in time next year that will happen, it will be difficult, and we just got to, you know, accept that we're going to have to use various techniques in our hospitals, particularly unwinding elective surgery when necessary, to cope with these numbers. So that's what every state has done. That's what every community does to try and deal with these numbers. On the other point about getting back to normal, I just always say to people about getting back to normal, we are normal. Everything is normal here. If you go to Victoria, you know, retail in Victoria, if a retail shop wants to open, if it's a florist or a dress shop or whatever, they've got to take all their products and put them on the footpath. You're not actually allowed to go in the shop.
Right.
They've been closed for months on end, and if you want a shop, you walk down the footpath, you have a look at their products on the footpath, the poor buggers. And the other thing is, they've only just had kids to go back to school after, I think it's 3 or 4 months of kids at home. So you know how we always sort of look at it and go, oh, you know, we can't, people say, I want to fly to Sydney right now. Well, over there, their life has been nothing like our life. And I just don't want to have the virus come in before such time as we have extremely high levels of vaccination. And I'd like us to have a normal Christmas without all the restrictions they've had.
Premier, if we do ever go into another lockdown and it, you know, has to go on for a little while, please don't call our opening Freedom Day. It just feels weird. I don't know what it is, but yeah, let's do away with that.
Those things are very odd.
Yes.
But anyway, in any event, and they always backfire because, you know, they have a Freedom Day and then lots of people get sick and some die. So all I do is say that we have been free. Let's just get through this, get to high levels of vaccinated. Please go and get vaccinated, and eventually we'll be able to travel east and travel overseas.
Cool. Premier, nice to chat to you. Just before we let you go, really quickly, I know you haven't really been checking your phone lately because of what's happened, but if you could get back to my text message about when that Warburgers is opening in Rockingham, that'd be great. I sent it a couple of days ago,
So
right, yeah, I'll look at that one.
Thanks.
You know, there's he got a new Taco number now, Pat.
Taco
Bell opened in Midland. Yes. Apparently, there's lines of cars.
Yeah,
I lived on Taco Bell when I went to America some time ago.
Oh, there you go. There's our headline.
I did. Yeah.
And in Portsmouth from the Premier.
Yeah, I lived on it. My brother and I we backpacked around America when I was in my 20s, and we lived on Taco Bell, so I haven't eaten it since, so I have to go and try it out.
Kebab stores are going to be so upset right now. mate, good to catch up with you, Premier. Take care.
Thanks very much. See ya.
Now, guys, in other news, Queen Elizabeth, she's tired. She's really, really tired. And I'm so tired of waking up. She's not tired because she's 95, although I'm sure it plays some role
in it.
You'd
think so, yeah.
She's tired because she's been staying up late, binging episodes of the crime drama Line of Duty. I love...
Your Majesty, come to bed. Now, get stuffed. I want to watch another Line of Duty.
Staying up late watching Line of Duty. Apparently, she's completely knackered.
Can I just say that this is all I ever hope for when I get old? Like, me and my mates talk about this, that when we're old, decrepit, and pretty much can't move anymore, it's going to be so good to binge all of the shows
that we've not been able to see. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I mean, it's fantastic that that's all she gets. That's what she wants to do with her time. But here's the really sweet bit. She's not watching TV alone.
Oh, good, because she lost her husband of so many years earlier this year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was it?
It's all a blur, I think so. But she calls Mabel, the former royal nanny who still lives on the Windsor estate.
Oh.
She calls up Mabel and says, Mabel, come watch some TV with me. And Mabel goes and joins Queenie and they just sort of cozy up in the bed with some popcorn and watch TV.
That's the best.
There's a new show in that, right? Liz and Mabel.
Is it?
Willing and Mabel.
I think that's so sweet. Isn't that gorgeous? Queenie and Mabel.
Oh, sorry, write that down.
And this woman, like, she hasn't nannied in a very long time.
No.
But obviously she's family.
Well, she must be. Those two would have been, you know, like, not a lot of people get close to the royal family, right? But if you're looking after their kids, you're going to see sides of Her Majesty that no one else would get to see. They've been through a lot together.
Yeah, and it's sort of an unlikely friendship. Like, and I am sort of this person. I make friends in really unlikely places. Like, I'm the person who you'll book me a flight because you're my travel agent. Next thing, we're hanging out.
Mm.
Shout out, Lauren. Hi, Lauren. that's kind of how I roll. But I remember years ago, I was living in Canada, and when I first arrived, I bought a ticket to go and see the Scissor Sisters perform. Mm. And I didn't have anyone to go with, so I bought one single ticket. Anyway, as the months kind of kicked on waiting for this gig, I didn't have anyone to go with, and I started to be like, oh, I'm not going to go alone. So I sold it. I put it on the equivalent of Marketplace, chucked it on Craigslist and said, come and buy it, right? Mm. This dude said, I'd love to buy it. He turned up at the house to buy the ticket from me, and I was cooking dinner at the time. And so I was like, oh, hang on, I've just got stuff boiling. Come into the house. So he came in. We started talking, got on like a house on fire. He hung out for a couple of hours. And in the end, I bought an extra ticket to the Scissor Sisters. Mm. And months later, we went together.
Mm.
And we're still friends. Hi, Peter.
Is there anybody else that you'd like to say hi to this morning?
Like, because I love these kind of unlikely friendships. I think if you put in an effort or you put yourself out there, you can make friends in the most amazing places. And it's not just about making friends at school or making friends in your workplace. You can make a friend anywhere if you just put yourself out.
Yep.
I made friends with a West Indian bloke in London who owned a deli.
Yeah.
And he tried to stop me eating a plantain raw.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, no, man, you don't eat it like a banana. I'm like, hello, buddy, I think I know what a banana looks like. and I looked at him and went, yeah. And there used to be a pub in Brixton called Ephra Hall when I used to drink. That's when I had friends. we'd often sit and watch cricket together.
Tanya in Auburn Grove, who's your unlikely bestie?
Hi, guys. My unlikely bestie is Corinne Courts. And I met Corinne when I was working at the Royal Brisbane show, Easter show, about 14 years ago. And I was serving her and she said, what are you up to for the next couple of days? And I said, oh, actually, I've got a day off and I've got nothing to do because I don't know anybody here. So she said, I'll take you out. So she picked me up in a great car and off we went and had a day out together. And we've had a nice friendship ever since.
Oh, is she in WA with you, Tanya?
No, no, she's still in Brisbane. Still in she lived in Brisbane. Yeah.
How amazing,
so it was
though.
Really lovely.
Yeah. I think, like, and you think back to that time and you think all those things you would have missed out on, and it takes someone to make an effort, doesn't
it?
It takes someone to take a chance
risk, yeah.
and the other person to go, all right.
It was a beautiful, beautiful experience. And she gave me a book that she wrote. It's a lovely book. And I often look at that book and it really holds deep to my heart.
Oh, it's beautiful,
gorgeous.
Tanya. Thank you.
Thank you, Tanya.
Okay.
You have a lovely day.
Yeah, you too, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Aww. Kane in Belmont. Good morning, mate. What's your unlikely bestie story?
Well, it's my neighbour, actually, Pete. I just sat in the back cleaning my pool and my neighbour from behind sticks his head over and he's Serbian, so he's sort of getting to know his neighbours, I guess, and he comes over and offers me a beer every time we're cleaning my pool, you know, and he's like, I don't know the bloke, but he enjoys my company and I enjoy his, and we just drink pretty much on Friday afternoons. I call him Wilson because he's that neighbour that just sticks his head over. You don't see his body, you just see his head, you know, and it works for me because he sort of keeps me hydrated on a Friday afternoon normally, rain, hail or shine. So, yeah, Wilson's perfect.
And does he actually physically come over or do you do this all over the fence?
All over the fence, but if I'm out the front cleaning, like, yeah, cutting my lawn, he's driving past and he'll have his box on the passenger seat and he'll sort of just flick me, you know, and we just know to meet each other. At the back.
Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, I'm a bit of a softy like this, but that stuff fills me with joy.
Too
like,
right.
I think those kind of things are really, they bring reward to your life, I think, you know.
Absolutely. And it's the most unexpected when it generally works out the best, you know. And I love him.
And Kano, can I just say, talking to you right now, you sound like the sort of bloke who'd be a great chat on a Friday afternoon over the fence with a beer. So. Thanks for your call, mate.
It's the best day of the week, guys. No worries.
100%.
Bless you, mate.
You're a legend. Awesome. Good on you. Pete, Matt and Kimber.
Check out another Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast on the Listener app. And check out all the savings on blinds, awnings and shutters at ABC Blinds Countdown to Christmas Sale on now. 94.5.